I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why, contains adult language.
That witch is more than willing to help you kill your stepmother. You're going to steal from her?
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre and often scarring media of our shared childhood. My name is Amy, and I'm a proud Gen Xer born in 1977.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
Jen, happy Valentine's Day. What?
Sorry, I just read the description for this.
Jenny, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Are you celebrating?
I never really celebrate Valentine's Day.
I know, I hate it too. Although, because we're all in the house together, we've decided to make a nice dinner.
Sure.
So I'm making creamy lemon lobster pasta.
Ooh, yeah. Fancy.
So I'm going to share, if it's a success, I'll share the recipe in the Mimi Bees.
I'm sure everyone will be like waiting with bated breath for that one.
Yes, definitely. And I do want to announce that I took Lafayette Beadle to his first obedience class this morning.
Oh, thank God.
And he was awful. He was ripping it up, barking at everybody, like freaking out. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. So everyone, we just wanted to announce that we are going to start doing more after school specials, or what we call ass.
So in our recording calendar, it is listed as ASS, after school special.
I mean, you know, on our Patreon. So for $5 a month, you could hear our ass.
So I'm not sure what people are paying for on Patreon now.
So on Patreon, you get 2 bonus episodes a month, the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. One of those is going to be an after school special or an ass, and one of them will be a blockbuster or something else. Yeah, just to up the stakes a little bit, we're picking and making the other person watch it. So Jenny has picked today's episode, which is ABC After School Special, What Are Friends For? From 1980. Jen, would you like to read the description?
The description reads, 2 12-year-old girls going through a divorce make a pact never to divorce their friendship. A lot of questions there.
There's a lot going on in this special. Holy shit. Guys, any ABC special that we watch, after school special, should be available on YouTube. So, because that's where we're watching them. So
I'm not getting like a DVD or some shit.
Yeah, I know. I did read that there are DVDs and I'm like,
I don't have any way to play one.
I would have no idea how to play it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Jenny, are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, we open on some super creepy dolls and weirdo toys. Can I just say
that I saw this part and just picked this episode? I didn't even know what else was in it.
Can we just say that I should have said trigger warning, creepy dolls, right from the beginning?
There's a pale, like, staring baby. There's a butler stabbing a black man. Did you see that one?
I did write, oh, there's a ventriloquist dummy, and then there's some racist stuff.
It's really bad.
Okay. A young girl with the beautiful name of Amy.
Oh, God.
Is looking at a picture of a young man. Now, I want to talk about this.
He's not that young.
Turns out it's a picture of her father. But Jenny, who does he look like?
I don't know.
He looks like Job Bluth.
Oh, my God. I love that show. I fucking love that show.
Will Arnett? He looks just like him.
He kind of does.
I think it's Will Arnett.
Job.
I'm rewatching.
That is the best series.
I'm rewatching it. Oh, it's so good. Brilliant. Arrested Development, brilliant.
So good.
Okay, Amy's mother comes in and she takes the picture. Amy, he's still your father. And we learn that they've moved to Santa Monica from New York. And guys, Amy's upset about this, but this Amy would not be upset about that.
Right.
Because I love me some California. Okay, cue the weirdo. We have a weirdo.
To be fair, 12-year-old Amy would have not been okay with that.
Correct. Correct. Yes. A weirdo enters, Michelle Mudd.
Who dresses this kid? She's dressed like a Chucky doll.
I want to get something out of the way right now. This actress actually had a really tragic life. Like, she was really sick. She had childhood diabetes. She died when she was like 30. Oh, so we are not making fun of the actress. She's actually a really good actress.
She's a great actress.
It's the character that we are going to rip apart. Okay. So I just
the actress is actually really good. She plays like a crazy character really well. Yes.
Okay. So Michelle Mudd comes in and she is bonkers. She has severe bang, overalls, and a flannel shirt.
She's dressed like Chucky.
She tells Amy that she's divorced as well. And Amy's like, but wait, I'm not divorced. My mom is. And Mudd, I'm going to call her Mudd.
My name is Mudd.
Mm-hmm. Mudd is like, same difference. Oh, speaking of Mudd, did you see the movie Mudd with Matthew McConaughey?
No.
All right. They go into the apartment building's elevator. So they're moving into this new apartment building. So Mudd has another apartment in the building. The two girls go into the building's elevator, and as the doors open, oh, and Mudd has a dog with her.
Right. Random dog.
Mm-hmm, random
dog. That looks like Jack. Yes. That's like a gray Jack.
It is like a gray Jack. So as the doors open, there's some snooty girls demanding her dog back.
Are they sisters?
No.
They look alike, don't they?
That's Beverly. Oh, you mean are the actresses sisters?
I thought they were supposed to be sisters because they look exactly alike.
No, but I will tell you this. Are you ready for this? I watched this whole thing. Timmy walks in at the very end and goes, oh, that's Jan from The Office. Amy is Jan from The Office.
Oh, my God.
I'm like the biggest Office fan, and I did not recognize her.
I would have never recognized her, though. I'm not good at that.
Okay. But the minute he saw it, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so this girl is not nice. And Mudd tells Amy because this girl is prejudiced against divorce people.
Wow.
I wrote here, Michelle Mudd is super confident and weird, and I like her. Later, Amy is with her mother, and we learn that her father left her for a woman with three kids, and she's pissed about it.
Is it clear that Amy's pissed more than the mother
doesn't seem pissed.
It wasn't clear though if he like cheated on her and left,
it wasn't
or
clear.
If like now he just has a family, like maybe he met someone later and now has a family.
Because things seem okay between the mother and father. I'm thinking they divorced and then he met somebody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
I mean, the mother got Santa Monica out of this deal. But then again, she got the kids too. All right. Back in their apartment, the dad calls and Amy tells him he has the wrong number and hangs up.
Wow. I was like, is that her father? Like what just happened?
But before she can hang up, the mother grabs the phone, right? And she starts talking to him. His name's Frank. And turns out, Jen, Frank hasn't been paying his child support.
Oh, Frank, you deadbeat.
Because it's hard with four kids.
Well, no shit.
What is that?
You didn't think that was going to be tough.
Oh, God. All right. So Amy makes some friends on the beach later. It's the one that has the dog. The dog's name is Sugar Shell?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate that name for a dog. Don't ever name a dog that.
And these girls, their names are Barbara and Nora.
Sugar Shell is the second worst dog name I've ever heard.
What's the first?
Arlo.
I hate you. Okay. They make a jab about Michelle Mudd's parents being divorced.
Dun, dun, dun.
And they invite Amy over, but Amy doesn't seem interested. Instead, heads over to Michelle Mudd's, who's meditating in her room on a rainbow comforter.
But wait a minute. Before we get there, did you catch the whole, we used to live in your apartment, but we can't say why we moved out? What the hell was that about? Those girls.
No, they said, she said, are you friends with Michelle Mudd? And they said, not anymore, but something happened and we can't say why.
No, the dog keeps coming back to that apartment because they used to live in that apartment.
Oh my God.
And then they switched apartments and they said, we can't say why. And they never say why. And we don't know what the hell is going on. It was the most random.
That's a weird subplot.
Terrible writing, terrible editing on this thing.
Okay. All right. I did not catch that. All right. Michelle starts talking about her family and says that her dad is a psychiatrist and he's loaded.
And he's got a lot of work here.
And he's married or dating. I think dating.
Dating. Yeah,
he's dating a girl that she calls Call Me Diane, which is pretty funny. She decides she wants to go shopping. So they get to this, like, I don't know, is it like a poor man CVS?
It's like a, it seemed like a drugstore at a gas station kind of thing.
What were the drugstores called when we were kids? It was a Ray and Derrick.
Ray and Derrick. Mall, right? I think that was a Northeast thing, though. Or maybe even a Pennsylvania thing.
What was it before it was CVS?
Well, Ray and Derrick was definitely a thing. There was Faze. Remember Faze?
I remember Faze.
What was the other ones?
They were at like a Hills. Remember Hills?
Oh, yeah.
They were at like a Hills. The department stores were things when we were kids. Like that was the thing. Yeah. All right. So they're at the Faze or the Hills or whatever. And she's picking out crazy earrings. And she starts like slandering her mom. Like basically slut shaming her. Saying that she dates around and isn't loyal.
They're talking about their mom's dating life.
Yeah. And then she thinks out loud in the middle of the store about ordering a hit on her father's new girlfriend, Call Me Diane. Okay.
Then quick shot to the beach where they're walking down the beach and Amy's in a bathing suit and Michelle's in full overalls and flannels.
Full overalls.
And then quick cut back to her room.
Yep. Yep. Guys, I have no concept of days here. Is it the same day? Is it a different day?
Is it 2 days? Is it 18 days? I have no idea.
We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. There's just day and night. So I'm just going to say day and night. Okay. So now shit's going to get real weird because I guess the next logical step for a kid suffering with separation anxiety from divorced parents is, I don't know. The occult, I guess. So now they're in Mudd's bedroom and there's tons of smoke and candles around. They're all red candles. And I'm like, this looks like Jenny's bedroom.
Well, and there's also a ton of rainbow stuff.
It's really weird. It looks like I was trying to think of what it looked like. Like it has that. It is right out of 1980. It has like a three primary color stripe around the middle of the room.
So I have an index card. I don't know where to drop this. Is the rainbow a symbol for the LGBTQ plus community at this time? Because like, it's rainbows. And I'm like, okay, like, was that a thing?
Right.
Even in California at this time. So yes, but not really. So the rainbow flag was popularized as the symbol of the gay community by San Francisco artist Gilbert Baker in 1978. So technically, yes. However, it was not widely adopted until 1994. Okay. The original eight designs represented the original rainbow flag had eight colors. The one today has six, but originally it was eight. Hot pink represented sexuality, red life, orange healing, yellow the sun, green nature, turquoise art, indigo harmony, and violet soul. So the two that are gone are the hot pink and turquoise, which is sexuality and art.
Okay.
Let's just get rid of art.
Much like our school system, let's just get rid of art.
But I don't think she's like on the spectrum of LGBTQ, and that's why there's rainbows and
don't
flannel
forget
all
that
over
in
her.
The 80s, rainbows were a big thing. Like we had the whole rainbow bright.
I know.
Yeah, they were a thing.
Yeah, but that stripe going around her room, I'm like, is that the bisexual flag?
Because
but that wasn't a thing until, like, the
90s. It looks like the Great Space Coaster. Remember that show? Like, it's very 1980s Olympics or something. Yeah.
It's interesting that some of that, like, became flags later. Well, I mean, they all represent things. But, like, it's kind of funny that we just used all that stuff in the 80s.
It's
like, whatever.
Bonkers. Okay. Amy asks how Mudd plans on offing her stepmother. And Mudd says, first, Amy must pledge her loyalty. So she makes her pledge her loyalty, and she's like, Jenny, I have a question for you. Did you ever do the blood on blood ceremony?
No.
I did.
Okay, that was
I did with a bunch of different people.
That wasn't yes, even it a was. Thing.
You were like blood brothers.
No.
Which reminds me of that. One of my favorite Bon Jovi songs, Blood on Blood.
I buried my menstrual blood in a bottle.
Oh, God.
That was more of a thing.
So weird.
Than cutting your... That's not
it
even
was
a real thing.
We cut our fingers and mixed blood, and I don't know. Then I never talked to them again.
But Michelle is doing a Tibetan mantra, which is not witchcraft, aka... Or, by the way, that is not witchcraft.
So she starts saying... Namaho Ranchkyo. Namaho Ranchkyo. Namaho. That's it. Guys, yeah. This is fucking bonkers. So now Amy's involved in some cult ceremony, and I just wrote, run, Amy, run. Run.
Michelle's going to burn her motherfucking house down, too. She's
Mud
like Carl
says that if Amy breaks this promise, she'll die. Like, Amy will die.
Yeah. Yeah. You will die if you break our bond of friendship.
Right.
She's like really fucking serious, this kid.
The next day, Amy comes over and Mud's mom says that she has a cold. And Mud says she's dying of sleeping sickness. And Amy says, okay, I'm going to go to Barbara Delaney's house now, the girl from the beach.
I'm going to go to the real world.
So she gets, okay, so Barbara and Nora, remember, are the bitchy girls from before. So Amy heads over there. She's like, I just need some normal here. She gets there
boring.
And Barbara's all like, oh, Nora's coming over, but we thought you were friends with that weirdo, Michelle Mud. Glad to see you're not. And then, guys, this is where Barbara starts to intimate that something weird happened with Mud and she can't talk about it.
Right.
Now, this is weird.
But we never find out what that is.
We never find out what it is. And then Amy starts standing up for Michelle and is all like, I'm divorced too, so add me to your list of strange people.
Do you remember being in school and like being all like, their parents are divorced or they're divorced? I don't remember this.
I
definitely was friends with people who had divorced parents.
Very best friends as a child, like in my adolescent, had a divorced parent. I mean, it was not a big deal.
Yeah, me too. It wasn't even a thing. Yeah. Like, we didn't even talk about it or think about it.
We never thought about it. Later, Mud shows up at Amy's. Now, let's take a minute to process Amy's room, shall we?
Yeah, I want to discuss Amy's room because Charlie Chaplin and who's the weirdo? Michelle's somehow the weirdo. This girl has Charlie Chaplin and those weird, like, porcelain clown face things.
There's a clown mask, or is it maybe the comedy and tragedy masks?
Oh, like
or Motley Crue Theater of Pain. Could be, yeah.
All right, fair.
Jen, she could be really into the crew.
Maybe. I feel like that's probably not true. Yeah, like, how is Amy calling anyone a weirdo?
Then there's a big Charlie Chaplin poster and a weird picture of a dressed up dog. I don't know what's happening. Charlie Chaplin.
I feel like if you looked at the two rooms, you'd be like, Michelle's the normal one.
What 12-year-old is into Charlie Chaplin? Tell me.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, what 12-year-old in 1980? But I mean, was he big in the 20s? Is that when?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, maybe, you know, 12-year-old in the 20s.
Or maybe even in the 30s.
Right. But not in the 80s.
I mean, would a girl be into Robert Downey Jr. playing Charlie Chaplin? Hell yes.
Meanwhile, we spend hours a month talking about somebody from the 1870s.
That's true. That's true.
So, listen to us. Charlie Chaplin, he's from the 20s.
That's true. And I spend hours a month like lusting over an actor from 1977. Okay. Anyway. Amy says to Michelle Mud, you were right about Barbara Delaney. She is prejudiced against divorce people. Amy's mother overhears this. I don't know if that's important yet, but I think it's supposed to show us that Amy's mother's kind of like, what's going on with this Michelle Mud girl?
I mean, she had it already a little bit be like, what's going on with Michelle Mud girl?
Okay, so then, Jenny, you have to clear this up for me. I wrote, Mud invites Amy to her mother's curiosity shop to see the antique doll, or was it not her mother's place?
So there's an antique shop that Michelle Mudd's mother works at.
Okay.
That is an antique shop.
Okay, all right.
And there's this weird, creepy Elizabeth I looking like infant doll.
It's creepy as fuck. It has teeth.
It has teeth. And it's a Steiner doll. Yep. I didn't look up what that is. But
that would have been a nice card.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And I love how Michelle says, okay, enough of your arrested infancy or something.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty dead on. I thought that was pretty dead on.
Well, again, with the writing, who would say that at 12 years old? Okay, enough with your arrested infancy. Say that.
She would totally say that.
So
she has a witch circle in her bedroom.
Amy's fawning over this doll. And the minute I hear the doll's worth $5,000, I'm like, that's going to be important. Yes. And we see Mud like listening.
Mm-hmm.
So then Mud takes Amy to a weird occult shop that looks like a cavern. I want to
talk about this place. All right. It is a curiosity shop.
Oh, that's the curiosity shop.
Yeah. And it's like, do you know like museums of oddities? Have you ever
been
to one?
I just have this. This is your teenage bedroom.
So.
Am I wrong?
It's like the Meter Museum in Philadelphia. Have you been there?
No.
There was also one in Brooklyn called the Museum of Oddities, which I was actually going to have an art show at, but then they closed.
Of course.
So there are these weird like curiosity shops and they have all these interesting things like you can buy human teeth. It's like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. This is right up your alley.
Taxidermy squirrels.
Mud is doing a chant. Oh, wait, no, there's some weird skulls and witchy shit. And then Mud starts doing a chant for her stepmother to disappear.
Over a crystal ball.
Then she meets a witch and asks to put a whammy on Call Me Diane. The witch is like, yeah, I could do that. Just give me a piece of Diane's hair or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
She needs her DNA.
That witch is really, I'm calling her witch because that's what they call her. That witch is really happy to oblige. Like, yeah, I'll put a spell on somebody. Just give me their hair.
I just wrote, I love this transactional witch. It's like the drive-thru window of like witchcraft. I need 6 P's.
We don't have enough witches around. We really don't. I could go to a witch about a couple things. Right now, I need some shit done. Jesus. The girls get home. Okay. Again, the girls get home. I don't know. They were on the beach again.
I don't know. They're on the beach again.
We don't know. Yeah. So it's still daylight. They get home and Amy has a gift waiting for her from her dad.
Yes.
So he can't pay child support, but he could send her a doll.
It's a weird ass doll, too.
It's a weird ass doll. Amy said she's sending it back, and her mother yells at her. It doesn't matter. Dad wasn't loyal, Amy says back to the mother.
This starts to get weird, this loyal thing.
Amy's mother's all like, wait, this is getting out of hand here. What's going on?
Well, and I want to know what that shopping experience was for the father. Was he just like, give me the creepiest ass doll that you have? Like, is it the doll that all the other kids run away from? Give me that doll.
And let's talk about, like, she doesn't have normal dolls that a 12-year-old in the 80s would have.
There's like, no Cabbage Patch Barbie. Kit.
I don't see Cabbage Patch. I don't see any of that. Care Bears?
No Care Bears.
Where's the Munchies? Where are they?
Well, I don't. Were Care Bears and Cabbage Patch Kids out yet? They were more mid 80s.
I don't know.
This is 1980. Don't forget. She should at least have some Holly Hobby and Raggedy Ann shit.
She should have something. A teddy bear. I don't
any
know.
Anything besides
porcelain.
Like creepy ass dolls stabbing each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. The next day, Mudd's birthday's coming up. Michelle Mudd's birthday's coming up. So Amy goes to the weird CVS or Ray and Derek or FaZe or Holes,
I think it's probably like November because Mudd is clearly a Scorpio.
Oh, totally. So she's trying to buy weird earrings for Mudd's birthday, but Jen, they're gone. The earrings that Michelle had liked before are gone.
The long rhinestone earrings that she's going to wear with a flannel and overalls. What is this kid doing?
They're gone. And I wrote, we know exactly where they are. Mudd totally shoplifted them. Okay, so later she also goes to the occult shop and the earrings Michelle liked there are gone as well.
Yeah, yep. How'd you steal I wouldn't steal the occult shop. Is she crazy?
That witch is more than willing to help you kill your stepmother. You're going to steal from her? Okay. Later, Amy goes home and her mother forces her to write a letter to her father to thank him for the doll. And she writes, Dear Mr. Warner.
Oh, harsh. Harsh.
She writes that she is going to sell the doll and give the money to the poor. Do you remember that, Jenny? Like, when we were growing up, that was such a thing. Like, give money to the poor, give food to the poor, donate to the poor. Like, it was just to the poor. Like, there was this large homogeneous group of people called the poor. Like, what did that even mean?
I remember that.
What does that even mean?
Or starving people. It was starving people or the poor.
Yeah, I don't know. She then wraps up the doll, the creepy doll from her father, and decides she's going to give that to Michelle Mudd. So she's regifted. She's regifted. Yep. I wouldn't re-gift Michelle Mudd. I'd be terrified of that kid. She's trying to kill her stepmother. All right. So Amy goes to Mudd's to give her the doll. And it must be like some kind of birthday party. And Mudd isn't there. She's downstairs waiting for her dad. But Mudd's mom is there. And she's like, Amy, can you go in Michelle's room and just grab her blue sweater in case she gets chilly? Amy goes in the room, pulls the blue sweater off the bed. And guess what falls out?
A box full of stolen earrings.
Yep, box full of stolen earrings. Now, I feel like this is a good time to say, I used to be a shoplifter.
You were.
I was. I hung out
Spencer's, because that's where everyone shoplifted.
No, it wasn't Spencer's. It was Hills.
Oh my God, they're coming for you.
Yep, I used to hang out with not the best influences when I was like 12 or 13. My own Michelle Mudd's, a little bit. And two or three times, I mean, we just put earrings right in our pockets and walked out the store. Then I was with them at the mall and they stole somebody's purse.
Oh, that's a whole other
thing.
That's a whole different thing.
What happened is there was four of us and these two were really bad. And we were at the mall and somebody had been, remember the mall had the phone booth banks? Yep. Mm-hmm. Somebody had been using one of the phone booths. We went up to then use the phone booth because, guys, what we would do is we would go to the mall and wait for the phones to ring because they would be like teenage boys, like 18, 19, 20-year-old losers calling the mall trying to get hook up with like a 14 or 15-year-old girl.
It was like early Tinder.
It was really bad, probably illegal.
Definitely.
Okay. So we were mall rats. We would just, you know, wait. And so these two, the one of them was at one of the banks where the purse was left. She takes everything out of the purse, throws the purse in the garbage can. And then the mall security cop shook us down.
Well, was that stealing a purse from someone, or is that just not returning it to security? Like, that's different than grabbing someone's purse.
No. Yeah, they didn't purse snatch. I didn't say she purse snatched.
I feel like you were implying that.
Well, she didn't. She found a purse and stole everything out of it and threw it in the trash.
I feel like that's not as bad as grabbing somebody's fucking purse.
But then the mall cops were shaking us down, Jenny. I was terrified they were going to call mom and dad that I stole a purse at the mall.
Oh, God. They would have fucking killed you.
So I lied and said I was my friend's sister, and we called her mother.
Nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They would have kicked your ass.
They would have killed me. They would have killed me. So I sympathize.
Can I just get on the record saying I did not answer the phones at the mall? That was a lame thing to do.
Oh, we did. We did.
Yeah, that was stupid.
We were probably 14 or 15. These guys were probably in their 20s.
No,
and they'd be like, "What's your name? Can we come pick you guys up?" And we'd
be
like,
"What were you guys doing though? We were always at the mall with boys or meeting boys there, or like finding boys there."
We were usually meeting boys there, but if there were no boys to be met, we would wait around for Fozzie and Creature and those guys to call the phones.
Was that what was calling the phone?
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Yep.
That explains a lot, actually.
So I sympathize with little innocent Amy here getting caught in Michelle Mudd's ring of kleptomania because it happened to me.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. At the birthday party, Mudd loves the doll, Jen. And we meet her father and we meet Call Me Diane.
Who, first of all, the father is 20 years older than Call Me Diane.
Easy. Now I have something hilarious to tell you. We know that Mudd is working overtime to cast a spell on Call Me Diane to make her disappear, right?
Right. Yeah.
This was that actress's only credit.
Who?
Call Me Diane, the actress who played her, never appeared in anything before or after this.
Is she dead? Is she dead?
I think she's dead.
Oh my God.
This is it. I looked her up on IMDb.
That's fucking creepy.
She's just gone.
That's weird.
Okay. So we don't know. All right. So anyway.
That's fucking weird.
Jen, how not to parent 101. Do not, at your kid's birthday party.
In front of their friends.
Announce that you are marrying your side piece.
Yeah. Yep.
But Jen, that's what Mudd's father does. He's like, oh, and the worst is he says, this is our present to you. So he didn't even get her anything. This was the present.
And he's rich, supposedly.
Yeah. The present was, I'm marrying Call Me Diane.
Oh my God.
Mudd literally gasps and covers her mouth.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know. I thought she bit through her lip.
I thought her head was going to spin. I don't know what's Okay. That night, Amy's mom calls her out on her letter to her father. Like, you didn't have to be that harsh. What the hell's wrong with you? Yeah. Again, just a little weird side scene, not going anywhere.
Right.
The next day, Mudd is saying she's sick again. Amy knocks
on unhinged.
What? Oh.
She's unhinged.
Amy knocks on the door to see if she'd like anything from the library. Mudd does not seem like the kind of kid who sits around and reads library books.
Well, unless they're on, like, it's a Tibetan Book of the Dead or something.
True. Mudd from inside the apartment screams, leave me alone, I'm sick.
I mean, who hasn't been here? Leave me alone, I'm sick.
At the library, Amy runs into Barbara and Nora, and she invites them over to see her doll collection. And when Barbara's like, no, you think I'm prejudiced, I'm not coming over your house. Amy literally chases them down on the street and begs them to come to her house.
Yeah, but then Amy was going through this whole, like, why aren't people just loyal? Like, kind of talking about her father, but then she goes and goes and hangs out with, and I don't think it's because she has other friends, although with Michelle, who knows? I think it's because those people hate Michelle is what the problem is.
Yes. Yep. So they come over and she's showing them her collection, and Amy is walking her new friends out later when Barbara asks her if she's still friends with Mudd. She says yes, but she's sick. She's always sick. And guess who overhears all of this?
Dun, dun, dun.
Psychopath Mudd is up on the balcony watching all this go down.
And Amy also say it's always so serious with Michelle?
Yes. And Mudd starts screaming at Amy that she isn't loyal. And I wrote, this kid has real abandonment issues.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. So later, Amy's mom is all like, you had fun with Barbara and Nora, right? Right?
Go hang out with those normal girls, please.
Now, Jenny, I speak mom. And what she's really saying is, you like these normal kids better than that weirdo, right? Like, please, please, please hang out with the normal kids. Okay. The next day, Amy shows up at Mudd's. And Mudd's mother's like, oh, Amy, I'm glad you're feeling better. Michelle was waiting for you to get over your sickness or whatever. Amy's like, what? Okay, now.
The best scene ever.
Mimi's, buckle in. Because... Jenny, I have no words for this.
First of all, she's literally going to burn her house down. And did the mother not see this going on?
So Amy walks in, she finds Michelle in her bedroom, but there's a bathroom off of her bedroom. Like, it's her private bathroom. As she walks through the bedroom, all the red candles are lit and smoking.
Yeah.
She goes in the bathroom. Michelle is hunched over wearing a cloak in the tub. She has the doll that Michelle or that Amy gave her for her birthday floating in what appears to be blood. Michelle turns around. She has full Gene Simmons makeup on.
No, she looks like Marilyn Manson.
And she has, and there's stuff written in blood on the bathroom walls. Guy.
And the cloak is like tie-dyed though, which I don't understand. It's so bonkers.
And what does Amy do, Jen? What's her reaction? It's not like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's not to run the other direction, which is what she should have done.
Run on her shoplifting.
Oh my God. Yeah, like call this kid out on shoplifting.
How about calling her out on her shoplifting?
She's doing a death spell. She's doing a death spell. And then did you notice there's a weird like vignette on the lens? Like that's the thing that has the black, It's so weird. I don't know why they're shooting it like this.
I don't know why you think she looks like Marilyn Manson. She looks like, I'm sorry, Paul Stanley. She has the one thing over the eye.
What she's doing.
Yeah.
But she kind of has like hair that's like.
It's so crazy, guys. She is floating this doll in a, like I wrote, oh my God, is she having a blood sacrifice in the tub? If we walked in and that was a real baby, I would probably not be surprised.
And then Amy said she's never talking to her again because she's using the doll that she didn't want for an ancient witchcraft death spell.
Who hasn't been in that situation? I just wrote, Amy is Mother Debbie Dunn with this witchy weirdo, and she storms out.
All right. Like, it's one of those things where I'm sure everyone has experienced this, where there's, like, the normal, like, coming-of-age things, right? Like, okay, you got caught shoplifting with your friends, like, you know, like there's all these things you got prank called, all this stuff. But then there's those moments where you're like, this is not a normal part of aging. And that would be this crazy blood spell in the bathroom.
She has kicked it up a notch.
Yeah, you're like, this is no, mm-mm. We're in a different place.
So the next day, Jen, Amy is on the beach with Barbara and Nora and they spot Mudd. She's on the beach, but wearing her full set of overalls and flannel shirt again. Yep. So everyone else is in very short bathing suits, normal appropriate bathing suits. Michelle, again, dressed like Chucky.
She's crying in her overalls.
She starts crying and apologizing to Amy, saying she just wanted to cast a spell on Diane and she thought Amy would understand.
She's like, I was just trying to kill my stepmom. What is the big deal?
Okay. All right. Later, we see Amy back. So Amy must forgive her.
I guess.
Because then we see them back at the doll shop fawning over.
No, wait a minute. There's a scene before that, though, where Amy's mom is on the phone and Amy walks in. And the mom was just about to, she's telling the father Amy's friends. And she was just about to say, like, what the deal is with Mudd. And we don't get to hear that. And yes. I'm like, I want to hear what she was going to call her.
Yes, you're right. So then they're at the doll shop fawning over the creepy doll. Mudd drags her to the drugstore, the one that she shoplifted from. And suddenly the clerk recognizes them and she's like, those are the girls who've been shoplifting. So she calls over what I'm calling the poor man's Vic Mackey from The Shield, Michael Chiklis, over to confront the girls. And he tries, but he like fails to catch them red-handed.
Right.
It turns out it's because Mud slipped the stolen earrings into Amy's back pocket.
Well, she's made Amy her shoplifting mule.
Yep.
Her rhinestone earring mule.
Yep. And Amy's appalled. They get outside and Amy's like appalled. And she says she must return them, Jen, because she could have gone to jail.
So does this Amy also have fear of wrongful imprisonment?
I really do have that fear. Okay. So they get into a big fight and Amy tells her she can't be her friend anymore. Again.
And Michelle's screaming down the street, "You promised Amy Warner."
Yep. And now I wrote, now Mud has to go home and do a blood spell on Amy.
You know that's what's coming next.
Back in Amy's room, oh wait, there's a sewing machine in here too. Like, she likes to collect dolls and sew.
Why? She's just laying there staring at a doll. Like, you're just as weird, Amy, I hate to say.
Yeah, yeah. Amy's mother makes her go to, okay, so Amy's mother's leaving and she's like, come down and walk me to the car. Okay, whatever. Why would you make your 12-year-old walk you to the car? Are you scared? I don't know.
Yeah, weird.
So then once they leave, we see Mud with a package. We know it's the $5,000 doll. We know this.
I didn't know that. I didn't know what the fuck it was. Is it someone with the head cut off? Is it like, I didn't know what she was going to do.
And we hear ominous music and she breaks into Amy's apartment. And Amy sees her mother off and then comes back in. Now, Amy does all the wrong things.
Here. Oh, my God.
All the wrong things.
Oh, my God.
She never fucking watched a horror movie.
Nope.
The door is open. Clearly, somebody broke into your apartment. You don't go in, walk around quietly and say, hey, is anyone here?
Holy shit. I was freaking out.
Jesus Christ. I was too. In her bedroom, she finds the $5,000 doll with the note that says, please be my friend. She immediately, like, the mother comes back up because she forgot something. And Amy's like,
she forgot her purse. Who forgets her purse?
And Amy's like, mom, sit down. We got to talk. Like, Amy by this point is like, I'm in too deep. All right. Cut to the beach with Barbara and Nora. And they see Mud's dad driving by. So help is on the way, Jen, because he's a psychiatrist.
Oh my God.
Later, Amy approaches the house and we see Mud getting in her dad's car with all of her belongings. She's going to live with their dad now.
And I just wrote, she's moving in with her dad. She's going to like legit murder her stepmom.
Oh my God. If I were like, call no me question. Diane, I'd be like,
engagement off.
Getting a PFA. All right. So Mud tells Amy, hey, I got my own shrink now because of my problem.
God, full time.
And she's patient. Like, I might not see you for a long time because I'm going to school in England or something like that.
Going to an insane asylum.
And then she's like, well, not really. I'm going to school in, like, where does she say? Like Rosita or something. They exchange items back that they gave each other in the satanic friendship ritual. And Michelle says, I guess we're getting a divorce. And Amy says, bing, light bulb. I guess it's best sometimes that people separate.
Mm-hmm. This was so lame.
So Amy goes home and is all sad. And she says she understands now that divorce is sometimes necessary. She just wishes it didn't hurt so much. And then she goes to her room, whips out the picture of Joe Bluth, and starts looking at it.
She now understands divorce because she had a crazy Satan worshiping friend.
Now, I want to talk. We know now where Amy gets her taste. Because we go back out. The mother is sitting at the kitchen table typing something. She's a copywriter for an advertising company.
Typing on a fucking typewriter. Remember that shit?
She's surrounded by cat statues and a gigantic Cezanne poster behind her.
I did see that. That was bad.
Not framed.
What adult just puts a poster on the wall?
Thank you. I'm saying to Timmy, if you are over the age of 20, you better have every poster framed in your house.
I'll give you 25.
Sure, 25. All right, Amy picks up the phone and calls her father. End of movie.
From a landline.
Ooh. End of movie. Jen?
I'm so glad I picked this. I literally had no idea about the Satan worshiping when I picked it. I just picked it on the crazy doll opening.
Jen, at the end of every after school special, we need to try to figure out what they were trying to teach us. What were they trying to teach us here?
I think they were trying to teach us that if you aren't going to be loyal, Marilyn Manson is going to cast a revenge spell on your ass.
I'm honestly at a loss. I was thinking, are they trying to destigmatize divorce? This isn't helping. Because if divorced kids act like this,
it's not helping.
Like, I don't know what they were trying to teach us. I'm trying to think of
In 1980, I was three, so that wouldn't work. But if I watch this as, say, 8, 9, 10 years old, what am I learning from this?
I think it's trying to teach you that sometimes divorce is okay.
Oh, maybe.
Because okay. That's what Amy learns, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's like, divorce is the worst thing that ever happened.
What a crazy path to go down. Like, we're going to make this kid a Satan worshiper?
This feels like something I would have written in, like, middle school.
Oh, my God. Guys, this was my childhood. Like, Jenny dragging me into a room with satanic shit and, you know, it's crazy.
I wasn't a Satanist because that was Christian.
You were not a Satanist, correct. We've at least established that. All right, Jenny, at the end of every episode, we look back on the material, on the ass.
On the ass. And
think about a lesson or a scar or something we took from. Now, all of these, most of these, we do not remember in their
original. I don't remember.
So it's going to be on the rewatch. Like,
yeah.
Can we connect this material to why the fuck Gen X acts the way we do about certain things? We don't know. So we try to finish the sentence, Gen X, this is why. Jenny, what is your why for this bizarre episode?
This is why I'm glad our parents waited until we were in our 20s to get divorced. I would have 100% turned out to be Michelle if they did this 10 years earlier.
Yeah, you might have. You might have. I could see that. I could see it happening. But don't you think there were downfalls to getting divorced when we were in our 20s?
Oh, of course. Different one. Yeah. Different problem.
Yeah.
Different set of problems. But like that, you know, that was a thing when we were kids. Although I feel like, you know, I had a couple friends that were raised by single parents, that single mothers specifically, that although that wasn't a big deal, it was also a big thing for people to stay together for their kids. Like that was
huge.
A thing.
Yes.
They did.
Yep.
And God, I hope we're not doing that still. Because it's, I mean, it was fine, but our parents, I think, didn't have a bad situation. Like, if you have a bad situation,
yeah.
You need to get out of it. Like, that you don't stay with that. But
the
people did that all the time. They just were like, stay together for the kids.
The whole staying together for the kids drives me insane. But I will say this. A lot of people do it because they just have no choice. We have such terrible safety nets in place in this country.
Financially, they can't do it.
Most
right?
of the time, it's an economic decision.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Especially if you want to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
What choice do you have there?
Well, you know, one of the things during this pandemic that we're seeing is just utter outrage about childcare and support. Because, like, we're seeing women having to leave the workforce.
Yeah.
Because the brunt, of course, is on women to take care of kids during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And like, we're just lay bare is, like, how not supported single parents are, especially, but parents in general, but especially single parents. Like, childcare is a disaster in this country.
I don't think I speak for everyone here when I say this, but I know I speak for some of my friends. When we were halfway through this pandemic, we were like, oh, fuck, Bernie Sanders was right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I
knew Bernie was right about a lot of things, but wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Jenny, my why is, this is why you need to pay more attention to your kids. This kid was throwing up flags left and right and left.
Literally
and right.
Setting the house on fire almost.
And her mother and her father were oblivious to this.
Totally.
And her father's a fucking psychiatrist.
But I have to say, do you think that's an 80s thing? Like, I feel like parents are just, and again, speaking as a non-parent, it seems like parents are just more tuned into what their kids are doing now. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know. I think, too, it could be a privilege thing. You know what I mean? Like, I am privileged enough to not have to work 12 hours a day that I could be in tune with my kids and be around them a lot and pay attention to them. A lot of parents don't have that choice.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, their kids are kind of solitary and, you know, here's what I wrote though. I wrote, why wasn't this mother tuned in? We see her in the apartment several times. So it's not like she's working to the bone at the
Satan circle is going on.
Right. She's not working to the bone at the doll shop. Like, we see her in the apartment several times.
Yeah, like, she's there.
She doesn't smell the smoke from all these candles. And I wrote that a kid will always tell you they're in pain. Sometimes it's not with words, but as a parent, it is your job to listen and hear it.
Well, Well, and the faking sick every week. And the mother knows it. Yes. She says, like, every time she goes out with her father, she gets sick. Well, no, she doesn't. Like, that's clearly not what's happening here.
Yes. Yeah. Like, a kid will tell you they are in pain. You just have to figure out what that language looks like. And there are so many missteps here. Like, this kid, even though she was hilarious, I felt that, like, she needed help.
Yeah, definitely.
She's getting it at the end with her dad, thankfully.
Thank God.
But it's like, oh my God, how... See, and that's another thing they're sending us, a message they're sending us in the 80s is, you know, there is something wrong with children of divorce.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like they're saying. And that's not right.
Well,
like, Barbara and Nora are perfectly normal and they're from two-parent families. That's how they're portrayed.
Yeah. But also, I think that they're not portraying it as like the divorced, like there's something defective about divorced kids, but I think maybe that's how they're portraying it. But like, what the message should be is like, divorce does affect children, period.
Yes.
Like, it's not going to not affect
them. Why couldn't, like, Barbara, why couldn't her parents be divorced? And she was, like, okay and well-adjusted.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? Amy, my question is, Amy supposed to be well-adjusted?
Well, Amy's just going through it.
Right.
Like, it would have been nice if Barbara's parents were divorced and she was like, oh, my parents are divorced too. Like, it'll be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I'm fine. Yeah.
Like, a message of reassurance. Like, the choices are not weird doll collector or Wiccan, not Wiccan, or Satanist, whatever Michelle Watt is. Like, there's just not a measured.
Well, I think the other thing, I think the other weird message here, though, as a kid who is kind of weird, like, just because you're odd doesn't mean you have mental struggles either.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that behavior, like, okay, her behavior is a little outrageous. So she's trying to kill her stepmom. But, like, you know what I mean? Just because you're interested in odd things doesn't mean that you're necessarily struggling.
Right.
Like, those two things aren't absolutely linked.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that. All right, Jen, what do we have coming up next?
I don't know. This was more draining than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, what we have coming up next is my pick.
Oh, you have your pick.
I have it. Let me pull it up so I get it right. Okay, so Jenny, normally this is where you tell everyone what's coming up next, but since it's my pick for the next after school special, it's my turn. I'm going to announce it on this episode. Our next after school special, we are going to do a Stoned with Scott Baio. Mm-hmm.
I knew you were going to pick that.
Jack is a motivated high school student who smokes cannabis for the first time and falls in with the fast crowd. Will he wake up and realize what he's doing with his future before it's too late?
Wait, how is the fast crowd the stoners?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. True. And I'm reading from the movie poster. Jack thinks smoking pot is the answer to all his problems. Jack Mellon is a good student, one of the best in his class. He's shy, has no friends, and can't talk to girls. Getting high seems to get him friends, but it also gets him into deep trouble. If you smoke pot, know somebody who does, or just want to understand what it's all about, don't miss this very important show starring Scott Baio of Happy Days.
I kind of can't wait to see this because our views on weed have changed so dramatically. Like, I can't.
Culturally, yes.
Culturally,
yeah.
I mean, I always thought it was all right.
Yeah.
But, like, culturally, we're more accepting of it. And, you know, I mean, it's legal in a lot of places now.
So that
it'll be interesting to watch this.
So that'll be out on Patreon in March, correct? That's our March pick.
That will be March 25th.
Yes.
Amy's ass pick.
All right, guys. So thanks for listening and we'll see you soon. Hi, everyone. Amy here. If you'd like to support our podcast, please consider leaving us a review wherever you listen. To send us an email or connect with us on social, please visit us at genxthisiswhy.com. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.